Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the Maize and Blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown.
Well, nothing like fat fingering the wrong button to get the podcast started. Played the wrong music there after practicing three or four times, but... welcome back to everybody. As you can see, we are a thinned out cast tonight. Just myself, Nick, and Dan. Eric's a little under the weather, so speedy recovery to Eric. He's just feeling a little sick. And I don't know, Scotty's in Minnesota somewhere apparently. He's partying with JJ McCarthy, Dan thinks. That's what Dan thinks.
I think that's what's going on, yeah.
He's running around with JJ. He says he can't get his podcast, he can't get his internet working, but I don't know if we're buying that or not. But it just reminded me though, actually, the button that I hit on accident.
The old TFG music wasn't it?
This f-ing guy
was everybody's favorite segment.
This f-ing guy.
I heard it. That's immediately I thought of that. Yeah.
So we probably have to bring that back. That reminds we could certainly do that. I mean, it's kind of it was always more towards like an in-season thing, but people are doing dumb shit all the time. We can bring that back anytime. Probably should do that for next week, but I don't have anything planned, and we got a pretty busy show. A huge chunk of what we're going to talk about, I almost skipped right over. So we're going to start with the NFL draft. I mean, this is one of the things we've talked about before. Chris and I used to talk about it a lot. Like, when Michigan players leave Michigan and go on to the pros, and I think I asked you guys about this in preparation for the draft, like, how much do you pay attention to them? Do you really care? I know for sure, you know, Nick and I, we talked about being big Lions fans, and now we've got J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings, so Aiden Hutchinson's going to be trying to smack J.J. around twice a year for however many years. That's kind of cool. And then you just you look at a couple guys going to the Chargers, getting to play for Harbaugh. That's obviously pretty cool. And then you start to think about how some of these other guys fit in with the teams that they went to, and first of all, 13 Wolverines drafted ties a program record. And then, Dan, what was the number? It was 19 overall?
19. Yeah, 19.
Six undrafted free agents get signed and picked up by other places as well. So over half the NFL, Dan said before we got going, we'll have Michigan rookies.
16 teams, yeah. So
trying to figure it out.
Half or what is that?
That's right at half. Yeah, 16 out of 32.
Half the NFL will have Michigan Wolverines, national championship Michigan Wolverines.
That's right.
In their camp.
That's right. So 16. Yeah. Rookies, 16 teams will have Michigan rookies trying to make a roster. And, you know, you look down the list, Michigan ended up having – so we'll start from the bottom and work our way up. Obviously, everybody knows about J.J. going number 10 overall to the Vikings. But we'll start at the bottom. Michigan had four guys picked in the seventh round. I think once you get past round four, so you got like your fifth, sixth, and seventh round guys, those are really your dudes who are like, you know, they're going to have to scrap and fight to make a roster. That's kind of how they're graded. Typically, that's how the numbers shake out. Not all the time, but so the four seventh-round pick guys, we'll go through these and kind of just give a quick, you know, little synopsis on whether or not they have staying power in the NFL. So number 253 overall, the last Wolverine drafted was Cornelius Johnson going to the Chargers. First of all, does that give him a better chance? I mean, he's going to play for Harbaugh. Like, he's the 253rd pick. That's got to help a little bit, I think.
100%.
I mean, why else would he take him? He must know, well,
And they're thin at wide receiver now, aren't they?
Yeah,
very thin.
Trade a lot of weight, yeah.
Very thin. Got rid of Keenan Allen, got rid of Mike Williams. So, yeah, they're definitely thin at the position. And, again, you know, Harbaugh knows exactly what he's getting with that guy. So, yeah, you wonder. 253rd overall, though. 252 right before him. Jalen Harrell goes to the Tennessee Titans, considered an edge. Probably could play.
Just a quick addition there. Remember 253 last year, right?
That was
Ronnie Bell.
That was Ronnie Bell. There
exact
you go.
Same pick, 253.
Ronnie Bell, and he made some plays for the Niners. Returned some punts. Was a special team guy. Got in a little bit here and there. We'll see. Now, you know, with the new kickoff and kick return and all that stuff, that kind of creates an avenue for some of these special team guys to carve something out. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that looks. So Jalen Harrell to the Titans. I don't know much about the Titans roster. I've always liked Jalen Harrell quite a bit. I feel like that's, you know, he's athletic. He's kind of one of those tweener guys a little bit. He's not your 280-pound end, but he's not a 220-pound, like, run a 4-4 linebacker either. You know, sometimes those guys find the perfect fit in the perfect spot. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see what that looks like. Who's even coaching the Titans now? That's something I don't even have at the top of my head.
Let's see.
Oh, who's the Titans head coach? Titans head coach. Brian Callahan.
Oh, geez.
Younger than all of us. Cool.
And who isn't these days, it seems
and
like?
Looks like it. I mean, as soon as I saw his face, yeah. I'm like, that dude's like 15 years old. He's 39, so he's right in the wheelhouse. But 249 overall transfer guy. But Ladarius Henderson played some good football for Michigan, obviously, yeah. In their championship run. Goes to the Houston Texans. Linemen are one of those ones where it's like, yeah. You need depth. You need the bodies. Yeah, you know, you only carry 53 guys, but he's versatile. He's played guard. He's played tackle. He can play both sides.
That, and when you consider where these guys are getting drafted off Michigan's offensive line, yeah. You got to consider who they played with. So you kind of get a little overshined.
Yeah, no, there's no question.
He'll get in on a roster. He'll be a starter. I think he'll be a starter in the league.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, maybe it is at guard. I don't know if he's big enough and athletic enough to be your left tackle necessarily, right. But he'll play somewhere. I agree. And he's played a lot of football too. Number 240, interesting dude, man. Great dude to pull for, just given his background story. Changed positions a bunch of times at Michigan, was a quarterback in high school. Number 240 to the Panthers, Mike Barrett, the winningest Wolverine of all time. That's crazy. Just played so much football there. He just kind of feels like he's going to make it. Like, it's all he does is make it, right? Like, I mean, that's crazy. He's another one of those tweeners, like, was, you know, not quite athletic enough to be a safety, a little small for a linebacker, but there's a lot of dudes in the NFL like that because of the offensive teams run anymore, all that space stuff.
Everything's space and speed. They need guys like him who can run and be multiple positions on the field.
And he could be, he could be a special teams demon for 15 years to be just phenomenal there. So, yeah.
And he's obviously, as we all know, I mean, he was a more than solid player on a national championship defense, top defense in a really, really talented position. Like that room was like full of studs.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, the guy can play ball.
Just kept finding a way to make plays. He couldn't take him out. I mean, he was just, he did everything. Exactly. And yeah, just to think like he was a dual threat quarterback in Georgia somewhere. And now he's playing linebacker for the Panthers. Crazy, crazy how he's changed things up.
Imagine the high school kids that had to tackle him.
Yeah, exactly. You think about that with all these dudes, honestly. Right. Like, they all just the way they dominated back then. Okay, no picks in the sixth round for Michigan. One pick in the fifth round. That was Trevor Keegan to the Philadelphia Eagles. Like Dan said earlier, I feel like he's off that line. One of the better guys on that line goes to the Eagles. They've got a history of having solid offensive lines. I just feel like he'll.
I wouldn't bet against any of the linemen, even the undrafted ones. I wouldn't bet against any of the linemen.
And they were in a pro system.
I would say the same thing. I would think all the offensive linemen from Michigan are going to be on a roster to start the season next year.
Yeah, so that fifth round, that's kind of like the teetering point. Fourth round and earlier, you expect those guys to be on your team and contribute, hopefully. Fifth round, it gets a little bit shaky. Then sixth and seventh, those dudes are usually battling. So Keegan, I think, is in a good spot. Excuse me, with the Eagles, too. They just seem to do well with linemen all the time. And so he'll be able to, again, be a depth guy. I think he can play both right and left guard. I don't think he's a tackle. I don't know. I don't know if he's ever snapped before, but obviously they've got a little bit of an opening there with Kelsey.
An opening there,
We'll see. But I'm with you guys. I mean, Keegan's a guy that's played a ton. He was like, you know, captain status at Michigan. He should be able to settle in. Another transfer guy. Fourth round pick. I don't know when he came to Michigan. I don't think that was the bill on him. I don't think.
None of us were thinking about him being a pass catcher.
But A.J. Barner proved big tight end, you know, north of 6'5", north of 250, came from Indiana. And I actually remember they were talking about him, you know, the analyst guys, that he was billed as a blocking tight end just because he was big. And they're like, no, like this dude can run, he can catch, he's a red zone.
Honestly, of all the players from Michigan's team leading up to outside of J.J. McCarthy, like he's the one that you heard talk about move up the draft board the most. Like, you know, he should have been, you know, going into the offseason, he was what, maybe a seventh round pick?
Sixth round pick?
I mean, he climbed a ton. And, you know, his workouts and he just kept hearing about him. And, we shouldn't have been surprised. He was a good player, no doubt. But, he was the one that you just kept seeing going up and up and up and up. And I think he was still drafted a little higher than people maybe projected, but
yeah, I think so too. But I mean, again, you know, he's the measurables. He's got NFL size for sure. You put on the tape, you know, had the multi-touchdown game. Surprising a little bit, but again, a huge. I mean, dude, just what an advocate for the transfer portal right there. Go leave Indiana, go to Michigan, and climb the draft by half if you were even going to get picked before. In the third round, let me see, what do we have? Four guys go in the third round, including 83, 84, and 85 all right in a row. Number 85 was Zach Zinter to the Cleveland Browns. Just awesome that he's already back at it. I mean, he's been out there working out healthy, fully healed, ready to roll. You wonder if he would have gone a little earlier had he not got hurt, but that's still pretty.
Yeah. I think he would have.
I think that was a good value pick there because as long as his medicals are where he claims they are, like he's good to go. That's a guy that would have been taken earlier.
Yep, and in Cleveland, there just. I don't know, man. You love a Midwest lineman, a Michigan lineman going to somewhere in Ohio. They did some cool stuff on their social with him too, like him picking out his jersey number and just doing all the stuff, like showed where his locker was. And I guess he's going to wear number 70. The 65 wasn't available. And he's like, I used to wear 70 in high school. So he's going to be number 70 for the Browns. So that's pretty cool. So number 84, another interesting pick, interesting spot, given all the turnover that's happened there. Roman Wilson going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you've got a Hawaiian kid, plays his college ball at Michigan. Now he's going to be in Pittsburgh, not exactly a warm weather area.
Yeah.
But he is actually, I think he is actually, if I'm not mistaken, he was one of the highest odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. All right, just like out of the gate. Like they just think he just fell into like a perfect scenario with Russell Wilson trying to get things going again. Either it's him or Justin Fields, which is both kind of intriguing.
I don't know if he has the same athleticism, but you almost think back to what Antonio Brown did when he was in Pittsburgh.
I mean, yeah.
Same kind of measurables, not a real big guy. He's going to be just quick out of the slot and every once in a while throw him a deep ball.
I mean, dude, he might catch 80 balls or, Russell Wilson isn't the bomb it deep every time like he used to be. So, yeah.
He might be the biggest unknown off of this whole Michigan list because of how Michigan plays. Yeah. Like, who knows what he's capable of doing, you know?
Yeah, we don't play ball
that way.
With a ton of volume, the sky could be the limit for how productive he could be. Yeah. Shown he can get separation. He's tougher. He's bigger. He plays bigger than he is. He's really fast. I mean, he had one of the faster times of Michigan's offensive players. So, I thought that was an interesting pick. Be cool to see how he goes with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. Both of them are kind of intriguing as quarterbacks for Roman Wilson in that group. Number 83 overall. One Mr. Blake Corum goes to the Los Angeles Rams. It's funny. You can kind of almost say this about a lot of the Michigan guys. Like, just you can't bet against them. Like, I know running back is like, it's not what it once was. He's behind Kyren Williams, I guess, technically, as a rookie. But, dude, I feel like you could put Blake Corum on an NFL team and give him 25 carries today, and he'd be fine. I don't know if that's what'll get there. I don't know how they'll plan to use him, but he's just such an easy dude to pull for, too.
He's just got one of those bodies where I don't know that anybody's ever really going to hit him square.
I know.
He's slippery. Like he'll go up the middle, but no one ever really gets a good lick on him. Like he makes quick moves, quick cuts, and just kind of slips through. I don't know. He could be, like you said, someone that you rely on, and he's going to get you 3, 4, or 5 yards a carry.
I said, he's probably technically behind Kyren Williams, and he had a really good year last year, but
yeah, I feel like he could. NFL, they're going to split.
Let's rotate them.
You don't have a workhorse really anymore because otherwise you'll be done by the time you're 28.
Yep. And Blake has carried the ball a lot in college. That's something that they look at with backs like that. He has had a pretty heavy workload, but knows for the end zone, obviously, can find the end zone, can pick up first downs, never goes backwards, like Nick said, never gets hit hard, doesn't seem to. I mean, the one, even when he got hurt, was more just like a glancing kind of, blow to his knee a couple seasons ago. So hopefully he can stay healthy. And I like him with the Rams there. Obviously, they've got some carries available for him, I think. I think you'll see him as a rookie on the field. I don't know much about their depth chart beyond Williams, but that'll be interesting to see. All right, pick number 69 overall, the first former Wolverine to join Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, Junior Colson, another dude easy to pull for. You're talking about a freaking orphan in Haiti, and he comes to the U.S. and becomes a, you know, all-conference linebacker and an early draft pick. And Harbaugh loves him. Harbaugh loves his family. He's a tackling machine. He's another guy that just feels like, I mean, if you need him to play starting tomorrow, and he'll get you 8 to 10 tackles every night out. I mean, he just, I don't know, just kind of gets it done. Played with the big old clubs on both hands in the playoffs and the, you know, Big Ten championship. So the only thing, and I hate to even, I mean, he's a third round pick. You hate to nitpick a little bit, but I wonder about his athleticism a bit in the NFL, a little bit. I don't know if he's not as quick or as fast as some linebackers, you know, but I don't know, man. He just feels like another one of these guys that just will get it done. A lot of these Michigan players feel
that
way.
You don't take him in the third round if you don't think he can get it done.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And certainly Harbaugh.
Harbaugh singing the victors when...
showing his jacket. Opens up his jacket. Yeah. It's got all lined with the Michigan stuff in there. All right. Now we're to the big money picks, rounds 2 and 1. He became one of my favorite Wolverines of all time doing this job. Covered him a little bit coming out of high school. Never met him in person out of high school. He was up in, I think, Massachusetts. You know, not the most recruited dude in the world. But Mikey Sainristil, still, man, number 50 overall to the Washington Commanders leading up to the draft. You know, Nick Saban said he might be the best player in the draft pound for pound. Just can do it all. You know, he's going to be a nickel. He's not going to be your outside boundary corner. Just follow guys around. He's going to blitz. He's going to tackle. He's going to make play. Dude, I mean, everybody loves him. I mean, you can't not love Mike Sainristil. And he made some huge plays for Michigan during his career. Talk about another feather in the cap for Michigan in their development. Comes out of high school, lightly recruited, plays receiver, moves over to DB, becomes a second round pick. It was a lot of fun to watch Mikey.
That had to be higher than what you had assumed he was going to go.
I was very curious about him. I was very curious about him as to where he would go, because that position is just really valuable in the NFL now. Again, with the offenses that teams run, every single team has a very dedicated nickel that's all they do. And some of them are paid a lot. I'm paid almost like true corners because of that position.
4-2-5 and 3-2, you know, those defenses with a lot more defensive backs out on the field to cover all that space.
You know, backs out of the backfield, and the way tight ends are athletic these days, and two, you know, 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, you need a guy like that.
They want dudes that can tackle.
And he proved that he was everything you needed him to do. He would do at a high level at Michigan. I mean, everything, ball skills, coverage, tackling, blitzing, he could do it all. For a long time, Chris Jenkins had, besides JJ, Chris Jenkins did have the highest draft grade for Michigan prospects, and it ended up playing out that way. Is this one surprising at all to you guys? He goes number 49. So what is that? 17 picks into the second round. He goes to the Bengals, joining DJ Turner, Daxton Hill, Brad Robbins, a bunch of Michigan players in Cincinnati. But he just didn't have like a huge impact year in terms of like production and stats for Michigan. I mean, I know if you put the tape on and watch it with Harbaugh, the D-line coach, they'd probably point out all the super valuable stuff that he did. But I don't know, when he was the next name called, I was a little bit surprised.
You watch the film. That's an NFL body out there on the defensive line. Like, he just looked like he could have already been in the NFL. He's a big dude. He's fast. He maybe didn't get the sack every single time, but he was putting the pressures on, leading them right into somebody else. Cause we run a lot of schemes where we got guys blitzing from different places. So he's putting pressure on, getting other people open for a sack. Like, I don't know. I think he's just an athletic freak.
I think that's a position that they'll just strictly draft that way too. Like, they don't, you know, not sitting, they'll never not look at your production, but like when they look at that guy, they're like, we're going to draft that guy.
Yeah. Body type. Yeah. The short, not, short, not every position numbers
that way, but that position, they're going to draft based on those measurables.
Yeah. Cause sometimes D tackles don't, like, they finish games with like no stats. Like, they don't get back there. You know, they're double and triple team. They're in the wash. They're laying on their bellies half the time.
Well, you go back a few years, look at Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
You know, no, at Michigan, everybody said he was a bust, but he still had the body and the freak athleticism, and look at him in the NFL now.
Yeah, totally changed his body and his position and what he does.
I would say tackle, they're gonna draft that way even more than a rush end, you know, an edge rusher, though. You know, they just, because of what Brandon said, you can have like a fantastic game and like literally have no stats.
It's going to be interesting to see what the NFL does. There were guys talking about this over the weekend. You see what like Harbaugh was doing. He's basically drafting like he's going to run the Chargers like he ran Michigan. You got a lot of teams where their defensive lines are small, and then you get these teams, even the Lions. You got a big, beefy offensive line. Good luck stopping them. It's just going to be interesting to see what the NFL does. Like, it's going to kind of teeter back and forth. I don't know if the run game is going to become more of a thing now. I'm not really sure. It doesn't sell tickets, I don't think, but it's one of those things that
if Jim has his way, they will.
Yeah, it's going to be intriguing.
Well, they say it all the time, and unfortunately, fellas, we're getting old enough now to see it, but the NFL is cyclical. So you go to Smash Mouth to wide open. Now maybe it's swinging back a little bit to being more about ground and pound. And I mean, Harbaugh certainly showed that it worked in college, because there were no offenses like Michigan's, like where nobody else is running the ball 30 times in a row. None. Nobody's doing that. And Michigan made it work, and it was
maybe like Navy.
I don't even know if they had a streak that long, honestly. Yeah. I feel like we should probably look that up. But yes, to your point, the triple option teams maybe would run it that much. But it's the reason why Michigan was able to turn the tides against Ohio State, just built for a different goal. And Ohio State couldn't match up with it, couldn't stop them. So anyway, did you guys see that clip, by the way, of Micah Parsons making fun of CJ Stroud? Hilarious. CJ Stroud, they were talking about, like, they showed CJ Stroud's like offensive weapons that he had, when it was like Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, like five dudes who are like stars in the NFL. And Parsons is like, you guys didn't win you guys didn't even win a Big Ten title. He's like, you couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop the run. That was your problem. Like, they were just dogging each other. And like the whole time you're sitting there thinking like Michigan did that. Michigan did that to them. That's the whole reason why. It was really good back and forth. I think they actually, either it was just this week because of the draft stuff was going on, or they may actually have a podcast together, and it is like good. It's so good. They're just young and they're kind of ripping on each other, but they're both so smart and so good at their positions. Like, it was pretty good content anyway, but that part was cool, because it was clearly because of Michigan was why they didn't win the Big Ten and didn't make it to the title game. And I don't know, it was pretty neat to see. And then last but certainly not least, young JJ McCarthy goes 10 overall to the Vikings. I think that's where we talked about thinking he was going to go. Most people thought that would be the best spot, one spot earlier, so they could keep the Broncos or the Raiders or whoever else from jumping up there and getting him at number 10. Once was it the Falcons, right? They took Penix at 8.
That one surprised me.
That one surprised a lot of people. And then once that happened, you were like, okay, well, that's, you know, clearly the Vikings guy to lose. And JJ does go to Minnesota. And now, again, if you're a Lions fan, it's cool and not cool at the same time. You hope he's not good against the Lions, but obviously you want him to be good if you're a Michigan fan. And he's in a good spot, man. He's got Justin Jefferson. He's got Jordan Addison. He's got newly added Aaron Jones from the Packers. He's got former Lion TJ Hockenson, a pretty good O-line, a good defense. Like, he's set up pretty well to be in that mix for Rookie of the Year as well. I think that's what it was. I think number one odds was Caleb Williams, just because he's 100% going to be the guy right out of the gate. He's got pretty good weapons too. And then JJ was second. And then Roman Wilson was like third or fourth, which I thought was surprising for Offensive Rookie of the Year. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. First, let's just, before we put a bow on the draft, do you guys think JJ is the starter for this first game of the year? They say it's going to be Darnold right now.
I was wondering that same thing.
I don't think he should.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, it's how the NFL works now.
Yes.
So. You set him, he'll be the starter by game five.
Correct. Yeah. You set him up for more success if you let Darnold screw it up first.
I would. You're not winning anything next year, right?
Yeah, that's.
I wouldn't start him next year.
You might.
But they're going to. I mean, he'll be the starter by game five. It won't go past game five.
Suddenly the NFC North is the best division in football, because all four teams can beat just about anybody on a given day. There's no crap team in that conference anymore, that division anymore. So, the Vikings, And I guess, yeah, the Bears still, you know.
Say, we don't know if the Bears are going to be
good. We don't know if the Bears are going to be good. They look better. They look much, much better on paper. I'll say that. But it still is a rookie quarterback with some new pieces. And unfortunately, my sister and her family, her husband and their family are Bears. They still have Matt Eberflus, and he's a dink. So we'll see how that ends up looking. But pretty cool to see these dudes go on to the pros. Again, I've known some of these guys since I have pictures in my phone of JJ looking like he's in fourth grade. It's wild, dude. Now he's a top 10 overall pick and going to the Vikings. And so that's pretty neat. So there you go. A bow on the mission. Oh, does anybody have the undrafted guys handy? I know we talked about them before we started.
Yeah, I've got them here. The big one there is James Turner to the Lions.
Yeah. James Turner, kicker to the Lions. He could win that job.
I know he probably should.
Could absolutely win that job. I think Carson Barnhart went to the Chargers. Did he not?
Yep.
And
Drake Nugent to the Niners.
Nugent to the Niners.
Josh Wallace to the Rams. Braden McGregor to the Jets.
So six guys undrafted free agent contracts. So 19 Wolverines overall on 16 different teams, 16 as we said. So that's obviously pretty big. I know they put the graphic up, the Michigan football program did. There were 13 players drafted from Michigan, which was like triple the amount of, what was it, Dan? Eight other teams combined.
Yeah, eight other Big Ten teams combined, yeah.
So, you know, that's what it looks like when you win a national title. You put a lot of dudes in the league, and now there's a lot of rebuilding for 2024, and we'll certainly get into that over the next handful of months here.
Well, so. you had dudes that stayed.
Yeah. Yeah, so, instead of spreading it out over two or three years, you had a bigger clump of them.
I mean, we had nine guys drafted and two unsigned last year.
Yeah, pretty big crop last year, too.
It was 5-6 the year before that. 5 drafted, 6 undrafted signed.
Well, I mean, you brought up the good point, guys. Brandon. How many of the guys that got drafted were transfers that came in, played one season for us, and got that Michigan name to them, and then, boom, you're in the draft?
There were a handful of those each of the last few years. Yeah, a couple guys that transferred in and made a name for themselves and played on a bigger stage, got noticed, had a lot of success, and, you know, that helps your draft stock for sure, no doubt about it. So there's the NFL, the newest NFL Wolverines. Obviously, people will be keeping an eye on those guys. J.J. McCarthy the most because he's in the same division as the Lions and, you know, was the highest pick and kind of the gold. He's kind of the poster boy for what Michigan has done. I mean, fairly or unfairly. I mean, he is the quarterback. Didn't have to do some of the things that some quarterbacks do, but still, he was the guy. 20, what was his record? 27-1 as a starter. Yeah, so we'll see how his career ends up going compared to those other. What was it? Jaden Daniels went to the Commanders. Drake May to the Patriots. Caleb Williams, obviously, to the Bears. Penix to the Falcons.
Penix is going to be like 30 by the time he ever gets.
I know he's already 26. That's wild. That's why
that pick blew my mind. Like he's old and injury prone. I mean, obviously his talent. I mean, you could see that.
Those were the four guys ahead of JJ, right? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Penix. So those are your four who JJ will kind of always be compared against and looked at in the top 10. And then
Bone Dix wasn't another quarterback taken for like what, 4 rounds or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, Bone Dix went not long after JJ, but then 12? I think that was it. Yeah.
Denver?
Yeah. Yep. And then pretty big gap after that. So there you go. Dudes, Dusty May just continues to do his thing. Michigan's basketball roster. I'm going to throw this up. It's going to cover half of our faces a little bit here for a second.
No one wants to see us anyway.
This is, you don't need to see us. Just listen to what we're saying if you want to. Dan's still visible down there. So this is the scholarship chart heading into 2024-25 season. I know it's a little bit small for those watching on a phone. It might be a little tricky, but the red block are your seniors running out of eligibility. Gold or yellow color would be your juniors. Only one sophomore on the team. That's the Alabama transfer, Sam Walters. And then the 3-man freshman class that will be true freshmen when the season gets going. Darrell Brooks, who's been committed for a while. Lorenzo Quezon, who followed Dusty May from FAU with his commitment. And then Justin Pippen, son of Scotty, who committed to the Wolverines just a couple weeks ago. So the big news is that Michigan did end up landing Vlad Golden, the 7'1", 250-pound center from FAU. He averaged 16 points and 7 boards. I mean, that's pretty good production. And he was also 67% from the field, which was the third best in all of the country. So when you look at that list, guys, I mean, again, I know the numbers are kind of, the names are kind of small. And Damari Burnett also confirmed that he will be back. So that's a guarantee now. He was kind of up in the air still and hadn't decided what he was going to do. Jace Howard still in that boat. I don't know. It's he's in kind of a weird situation. Obviously, his dad's fired. So, like, do you leave or do you just finish out your career at Michigan? He's not an NBA guy, so it's just one of those things. Find out what he really wants. But when you look at that list, is that a – and they do still have room for one more scholarship player, however they decide to do that, or maybe they just roll with 12 because the portal is getting thinner and thinner and people are starting to make their decisions. Janelle Davis, the number one overall portal target, committed to Arkansas last night for a cool $1 million. We'll talk a little bit about NIL at the end of all this, but when you look at that roster, Nick, you're the in-house basketball expert, so we'll go to you, the state champion coach, father of future All-State players, potentially all that good stuff. When you look at that list, I mean, is that a team? And again, I haven't seen Reuben Jones play. I read about him. I've seen a highlight clip of Trey Donaldson here and there. Same thing with Danny Wolf. But when you look at that list, that roster of guys, can that roster compete in the Big Ten? Can they be a top 2, 3, 4 team in the Big Ten in year one under Dusty May?
Yeah, they could. It's like you said, a lot of these guys, like I'm looking at their names and going, I don't know what that guy's got. So a lot of it's going to be, how quickly can Dusty May get them to gel together? You know, it's going to be one of those things where maybe the first month or two of the season, well, you'll play hopefully some cupcake games there at the beginning to get them to gel. But beginning of the Big Ten season may not look so great, but then as you go through, they start to come together. And then hopefully by the time you're hitting the Big Ten tournament, you're in a position where you're trying to get yourself into the NCAA tournament. I think with Dusty's track record and bringing in guys that have played, they definitely have an opportunity to make it back to the tournament. I think that's got to be a realistic goal for them.
I've tried to go through and come up with a starting five, and it's hard. Like there's enough talent on that roster where it's like there's not like a set five that stands out. Like, oh, that guy's got to start, or that guy's got to be a bench guy. And you've got 2 7-footers who are pretty different from each other. Like, is one of them a starter and the other one comes off the bench? Because I got to be honest, like when I watch Danny Wolf's highlights from Yale, I want that dude playing, but I'm also like, are you going to play both? Like Vlad Golden, right. I think he's 100% starting. Like that's your starting center. But then what do you do with Danny Wolf, who's also a 7-footer? Is he your very, very large stretch four? And then you've also got Sam Walters, the transfer from Bama, who's 6'10" and can really shoot the three. He's younger. He's only a sophomore. He'll only be in his second year, but I don't know, man. I really – he's got Roddy Gale in there who's played decent ball for Ohio State. He understands the rivalry in the Big Ten, so he brings some value. Reuben Jones has played a ton of basketball, albeit in a smaller conference. But you've got a lot of dudes who can do a lot of different things, and I actually like Damari Burnett quite a bit too. He's pretty versatile, can play a couple wing spots, and might be the only guy left over from your team last year, so can kind of carry that torch if you want him to from your 8-win season. But you know, there's a little bit to be said that he's been there. And so I don't know, man, I like the roster. I like the makeup of it. You've got, now you do have enough big guys. I think that was a little bit of a concern earlier where they were just getting guard after guard, after guard, after guard. But now you've got Cheddar, who's a little undersized for a power forward. You've got Wolf, you've got Golden, and you've got Sam Walters, who's like a wing, but he's 6'10". I don't know, Dan, we talked about this before. I think I put a hard number on it. I said double your win total and go from there. So that would be 16 wins. You get to 16, you get to 18, you hit that 20 mark. You are making the tournament. When you look at the roster now, is it fair to say he should make the tournament in year one? Or is that too much?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say a year from now, if he doesn't make the tournament, we're going to be running him out of town. But
Right.
But yeah, no, I think that's got to be the goal.
He should
now.
Yeah, we are still
a month ago. We couldn't say that.
that's exactly solidly, right.
I think that has to be the goal. And I think to your point there, I think you're going to have 8 or 9 guys that play. And it sounds like the way, you know, and I'm not going to lie, I don't watch college basketball like I watch college football. You know, I watch Michigan when they're decent. I couldn't hardly watch them this year.
Right. So, fair.
Like, there's a lot of guys in that roster I haven't seen. But yeah, it sounds like the way he likes to play, like he wants to push the ball up the floor. So guys are going to play. Like, you're probably not playing both of them seven footers, but there's going to be minutes for both of them. If you like to push the ball, you got a seven footer running around, you're going to have to spell him. So yeah, there's going to be minutes for both of those guys.
And both of them are moderately mobile. They're not, you know, Golden's more of a bet. He doesn't shoot outside, but he's athletic. He can get up and down. Wolf is probably more skilled, but maybe not as fast up and down. Like, it's damn interesting games.
What I'm interested to see is how Dusty May's philosophy of coaching basketball translates to the Big Ten. Because when's the last time the Big Ten won the national title?
Oh, it's been like 2006 or something, or 8 or 9. I think it was Michigan State. Yeah,
whatever. Last time they won was when Tom Izzo and Michigan State won it.
Yeah,
so it's been a minute. The Big Ten style of basketball, for as much as they, you know, say it's great and it's hard nosed, it doesn't translate to the tournament. They just don't do it. And Beeline was the closest thing to it, and he was offensive minded. He got us there. So I think Dusty coming in is going to be a breath of fresh air. I don't know. They might get beat up a little bit through Big Ten play, but if they can survive it and get to the tournament, that wide open style, that's what a lot of teams are doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. You saw even
with Purdue. Purdue didn't have the guard play to stick with UConn. UConn just that's what ended up doing them in.
Yep. As dominant as Edie was, you just kind of let him get his and make sure no one else goes off. And
he was gassed by the end of that game.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very intrigued by what, and to Dan's point, I mean, yeah, just a few weeks ago, a month ago, we're like, dude, there's not even anybody on the team. And now he's got 12 guys, and
you couldn't even talk about it. Like,
You really couldn't. We're like, we have no idea who's going to be wearing the jersey, what the system's going to look like, who's playing where. And aside from Jace Howard, the other 10, the other 11 guys are locked in. And so if Jace Howard decides to go, then you have two scholarships that you can play around with a little bit heading into the summer and see if, you know, maybe it's an international guy, maybe it's a late bloomer who didn't sign. Maybe, you never know. I mean, there are potential dudes out there who can fill those spots. Or yeah, maybe in year one you are a little thinner and you've only got 10 or 11 or 12 scholarship players. That's not ideal, but it might be the way that it works. And then, like to Dan's point, you'll play 8 or 9. You take those 3 true freshmen, you let them chill, and there's your 9 guys. There's your 8 guys. You roll with them and you see what it looks like. Because I don't think I'd have to do a little bit of a deeper dive, but I don't think Darrell Brooks, Lorenzo Kaysan, or Justin Pippen, the 3 freshmen, are the caliber to be counted on in year one. Like, they might get some spot minutes here and there, but they're not your one and dones. They're not going to come in and average 15 right out of the gate. That's just not the kind of players they are. So it'll be interesting to see how that basketball stuff shakes out. And it's getting more fun to talk about because there is a roster now and you can start to envision who's going to be on the floor and what it'll look like. It is really crazy that Namari Burnett may literally be the, and Cheddar's back too. I keep forgetting about him. Will be the only guys that had a Michigan jersey on last year. And we'll see what Jace Howard does. I feel like he's going to go somewhere else, but I don't know. I don't have any inside info, but I'm just, his dad was the coach. He's been there. If you were going to stay, just say you're staying. Like, I don't know. It feels like he's trying to find somewhere else to go, but we'll see how that ends up playing out. So there you go. One more quick look at the scholarship chart. 12 guys currently spoken for, 1 open spot. And then you can see it'll never play out that way. The transfer portal and how things change, but that's what it would look like down the road. Should some of those guys stick around in terms of their, eligibility and stuff like that. So there you have it. Dusty May continues to be a popular guy around Ann Arbor, and people are pretty excited about what he's doing. So, we got a little while to figure it out and see it, but at least he's putting together a pretty good roster. As a matter of fact, a couple different outlets who, use analytics and different numbers and things like that, at least 2 different places have Michigan as having the best transfer class in the country. So that's, Vlad Golden was a highly ranked guy. Reuben Jones was a pretty highly ranked guy. Danny Wolf was a highly ranked guy. So yeah, they've got 6 guys coming in that were not on the team last year, and that gives them the number 1 class in the country. So I don't know if that matters to anybody or not, but some of the analytics and the metrics out there have Michigan as the best transfer class in the nation. So there you go. Didn't translate to a lot of success when Juwan did it with recruiting. So we'll see. Hopefully Dusty can do a little bit with these transfer guys. All right. Football. We should do some football, more football moving forward. Football stuff.
Did you want to talk about the NIL dude that got the the guy that Arkansas took from us.
Yeah, I mentioned him very briefly, but, you know, Janelle Davis was the number one overall prospect in the transfer portal, played for Dusty May at FAU, going to play for Coach Cal. I hate Calipari. I just feel like he doesn't even win. He just takes the best players and screws other people over and doesn't even win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why he's not at Kentucky anymore?
Right. Did he win one at Kentucky?
I don't know. He won one, but was it with Kentucky or was it Memphis?
If he won one, it had to have been with them. I don't think
it had to be with Kentucky. Yeah. That's a guy. That guy would have been like your day one locked in best player for Michigan. He goes to Arkansas because he gets $1 million and no one cares.
I mean, Fayetteville.
Arkansas. Come on, man.
I don't blame the kid, but
no, I know
the way the whole system is. It's just depressing.
Yeah, it is. It is depressing. That's what we're going to close with. Actually, we're going to close with the most depressing topic of the night: the NIL world and what it means for Michigan sports. That should be fun. Is it Fayetteville? Is that where Arkansas is? I believe so. I've never been to Fayetteville, but I know it's not as cool as Ann Arbor.
That speaks volumes.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I know it's not as cool as Ann Arbor, so whatever, man. So Janelle Davis, point guard, combo guard, a little bit. He can kind of do it all. He's an NBA prospect kind of guy. Goes to Arkansas. Michigan was in the mix because of Dusty May, but was never really in the mix. He was looking at bigger programs that were ready to shell him out a bunch of money. I mean, that's really what his list was. I mean, Michigan was on there because of Dusty May, but he was never coming. And that sucks. I mean, that sucks when you know, like, well, we can't get that guy just because he's looking for a bag. And now you can say that openly because they really are. They're really looking for money and everybody knows it. It used to be at least before you just had to accuse people of it. Now it's just like, that's what it is. And you know, if you're going to be involved or not. So anyway, I guess one guy who doesn't need a bag of money, CJ Charleston, a wide receiver from Youngstown State, committed to Michigan earlier today. I don't know, man. Not much of a needle mover. He's 6 foot, 190 pounds. He looks a little bit bigger than the Tyler Morrises and Samaj Morgans of the world, but not much. And he's been at Youngstown State for 5 years, but he's had a redshirt year, a COVID year, and an Achilles injury year. So he's been there for a while, but he still has eligibility left. And I don't know. Last year he had 33 catches for 503 yards and 4 touchdowns. How much does that move the needle for you guys? And what does this do for Michigan's receiver room?
I mean, there's more of the same guy in it.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, man.
Bunch of 6 foot, 6'1", 5'11 dudes who probably run similar speeds. So the question is going to be, what are his on field instant? You know, what's his route running like? What are his hands like? If he can be a dependable guy, who, you know, we'll see. He's played some football. So
the fact that you can get him says he couldn't get a bag of money, and that says enough about him right there. Probably, that's right?
Probably a fair point.
Today's world, it's like, okay, he's coming here because he can't get money somewhere else, and he obviously isn't, like you said, he's not going to move the needle a lot.
I didn't write this, but this is what was written about him. He was the third option for Youngstown State in terms of downfield targets last year. So that's Youngstown State. That's not coming from Bama. That's not coming from Tennessee or US. I just don't know what he really does to the room. I mean, I'm not hating on the kid out of the gate, and I hope he does great and maybe he'll be more productive than we ever imagined. But to Nick's point, to Dan's point, he probably wasn't super coveted. He's not that different than anybody already on the roster. And he wasn't even overly productive at Youngstown State. And you just wonder, you know, what exactly the plan is for him. I think all three of us think Michigan, they need a bigger dude. They need a big, you know, outside guy to go with some of these smaller guys. And maybe they think they have it on the roster already. I'm not sure who that would be, but I don't see it. And, you know, it comes back to what we've talked about before, though. If you're Michigan and you play the way you play and you want to lack somewhere, it's probably okay to lack at receiver because you don't really use them that much anyway.
Well, that's why you lack a receiver.
yeah, it's kind of that, you know, which is first. Like if you had a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., you'd probably be apt to throw it a little bit more. But you're not going to get a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. because you don't throw it enough. It's like, how do you fix it? I don't know. But I wrote something
one.
In. The,
just takes wrote, one. We need one yeah, guy to have that. Just take a leap of faith.
That is true. And unfortunately, like what we've talked about, the NIL stuff and the approach and the way they play, like it just takes one, but they don't want to. They don't.
We've got to change, like you said, we've got to change our approach with NIL. We got to be able to go out there and talk to a 6'3 dude and say, hey, come over here to the Maize and Blue. Here's a little deal for you. Yeah.
Here's 300 grand.
We're going to throw you the ball.
Yeah. Here's 300 grand. Now go suit up. And I just really feel this is what we were going to close with. Well, it kind of, all this stuff kind of wraps up together. Over the last handful of days, Michigan has lost three scholarship linebackers. Jeremiah Beasley, who is a true freshman. He has been on campus since December. He's already transferring. He's committed to Missouri earlier today from Belleville, right here in the area, local kid. Looked like a Mike Barrett clone, by the way, at the spring game. Was wearing 23, a little shorter, a little stocky. It looked just like him. I'm like, oh, maybe that's what his role will be. That looks pretty good on him. Now he's transferring out. Samaj Bridgman was a four-star recruit. He's out. Hayden Moore. Amir Herring, a West Bloomfield kid, so another local kid, interior offensive lineman. He's transferred out. So the 2023 class, I mean, we're talking kids that have only been on campus for two seasons. This is heading into their second year. There were 25 signees in that class. It was only the number 20 class in the country. Not great. Not great considering Michigan had back-to-back appearances in the playoff, but it's not really a surprise. It aligns when NIL started. Michigan had like top 8, top 10, 12, and then NIL hit, and now it's like the 20th class, 21st class, 19th class. Like there's a line of delineation there for sure. What sucks about that is
you're saying, you know, top 8, and it would have went the other way. Like we should be getting like top 3 classes.
Exactly. I
mean, when you look at what we've done, sense, and when you look at the number, because you know we talked about the draft numbers, 19 guys going to get a shot in the NFL off this roster.
Yep.
I was interested to see over the last couple of years, and including the drafted guys and the undrafted guys who signed with teams. And I don't know who all stuck around. I didn't research into it that far, but it was 11 each of the last 2 years. So you got 19, well, you know, kids should be looking at that going that, you know, it used to be like, who can get me to the league? Now it's like, who can pay me now until maybe I can have a shot. You know, it doesn't matter because you can transfer. Right. You know, you don't got to worry about being on a team that can get you to the league until your senior year.
Yeah, they were making more money than Brock Purdy last year in college.
So like we should have upped that, you know, being 6, 7, 8 right in there up to, we should be top 3 right now with what we've done. And we're not gonna. We're gonna be 20th again, probably.
Until they change NIL to where you're signing these kids to actual like contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And paying them for X amount of years that you're gonna be at our school. It's all gonna get real weird. It's going to be,
It'll be weird even then. Like,
That will.
That'll be weird too.
It will.
But scholarships will go away. Classes won't even be a thing anymore. Like all that stuff. No. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Douglas, I just searched it and it is true. Omarion Walker, who was a big time recruit, played receiver, played corner. I actually thought like when he started playing corner, I'm like, well, there's you put him on one side, you put Will Johnson on the other side. There's your two corners for the next 3 years. That's going to be, and then, you know, he played a little bit here and there. He was hurt. He couldn't get on the field. And then he transferred to Ole Miss for a season. I don't think he did anything really there. And now he's back at Michigan. He just tweeted back like I never left. So interesting player because he has a background at receiver.
And missed the national championship.
Well, cool, dude. Nice year to miss. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were going to talk to miss, you're talking about an elite athlete, 6'4". Is he a corner or does he help you? Those are two positions in need. He can play both. Like, do you try to get him to play both or what do you think? What's the best place for Omarion Walker as of today? And they'll probably give him a look at both. I'm sure they will.
Defense, because they're not going to use him on offense.
Well, there you go. That's probably the simplest answer.
He's coming to take the spot Waller was going to be in.
Yeah.
Built a lot like Waller, a longer, bigger cornerback. Yeah, Ralph, I think give him a shot at both. I mean, Dan's point is probably the better one. You need him. Defense is more important because you're not going to – what's he going to have, 18 grabs or something on the year? Even if
offensively, you can throw him out there for 10 to 15 snaps a game. Just, you know, do what you did with Charles Woodson. Those guys throw them out there for a few just to take the top off the defense.
I'll ask around a little
what's
bit.
What's the threat for if they know you're still not going to do it?
Yeah. I will ask around.
Out there, they say, why is this guy out here? Then just do a handoff.
If I'm an opposing defensive coordinator, I'm like, yeah, right, go ahead. You're not good.
I will ask around to see if I can get a hard answer on what side of the ball he'll be on. But need him at both spots, and maybe he'll get a look at both. And now you're in, spring ball's over with anyway, so you're not going to get a look until fall camp rolls around. So that makes that a little tricky. You almost have to kind of know before it gets here and go with it, and then try to work him into the rotation. So from that 2023 class that was ranked number 20, Carmelo English gone, Cameron Calhoun, Amir Herring, Samaj Bridgman, DJ Waller, and Hayden Moore all have now left. So that's six guys where Carmelo English he showed that he had some ability. He was, he's not much bigger than the other receivers, but a little bit fast guy. He certainly would have helped you this year. Cameron Calhoun was a young cornerback who was pushing for playing time, and DJ Waller might have been your starter, and they're just gone. And he goes to Kentucky, and these other guys are going to these other places. We've started talking about NIL a little bit.
Is he switching to basketball then since he's going to Kentucky?
Yeah, I know. Go to Kentucky, win six games.
What's he going to do in Kentucky?
Got paid more than he did at Michigan. That's what happened.
Lose a lot of football games to better teams. That's what he's going to do.
So we'll close with this kind of discussion, and we're all the old men yelling at the clouds nowadays about NIL and you're changing my football, but it sucks, man. It really does suck because these players don't even like, does he even want to be at Kentucky? Probably not. They just gave him some money and he like Dan, you're going to go there and lose a bunch of games. Losing's not fun. Even if you've got some money in your pocket, I mean, to me, it's not, I don't know. Maybe they don't care that much, but
is it going to taint the prestige of the universities, like it used to be a thing. Just like it was the fact that you were at Michigan or Alabama or Texas. Like now, if it's just who's getting me the most money, does it even matter where you're going? Like, are you a high school recruit right now saying I'm going to Michigan no matter what, 'cause that's my team. And then all of a sudden, Kentucky or Kansas comes and says, hey, here's this. Oh, I'm going to Kansas. Like, that I don't know if the name of the school just doesn't mean as much anymore. With NIL.
But it's like what we said earlier, though, too, man. Like, can you blame the kid?
No, I don't blame him at all.
Think about if it was us. You're 17. You're a great basketball, great football player, and you could go get $250,000 to go to a different school. Like, do you really even care? Like, I'm going to get paid. Yeah. I still get to play. I still get to do what I want to do. It's just it's really throwing a wrench into a lot of things. It's why you've seen some of the best coaches of our lives just walk away. Saban,
right,
in basketball, yep. Jay Wright, Beilein. I mean, these guys are like, I'm done with this, dude. I'm not doing this.
I don't think any of us, or I don't think a lot of people out there think it's going to stay looking like this. It's going to evolve. Right. It's going to change. And we don't know how, but even if it stayed like this, it would be interesting. It would be interesting to watch that play out over a decade or a decade and a half to see, like, to Nick's point there, like, does it change that, like all of a sudden, can a Kentucky become a powerhouse in football? And, it hasn't happened in this short period of time. Like, it hasn't moved. Like, look at A&M. Like, they bought a whole, big time class.
That's true.
What did it do for them? They didn't get
it. It fell apart is what it did. Yeah.
They didn't have what Michigan had this year.
NIL really wasn't a thing yet. They were kind of doing it around the edges, weren't they?
Well, I'm sure they were, but I just mean,
quote unquote buying it. Wasn't that before NIL? Because I remember Saban going nuts about it.
Even without getting into any of that, though, like, will it work? Will it act? Because none of these teams are giving these kids money just to give them money. They want They want to create something. Yeah. And so, what have we had? 3 years in right now, or 2 years in?
Roughly three.
Around three. So that's still in its infancy. So if you go 10 years down the road, 12, 14 years down the road, like, could this actually change where you don't, like your Alabamas and your Texas and your Michigan and your Ohio State, like, could they take a step back to an Indiana, if Indiana could shell out enough money?
The thing I worry about too,
is it'd be interesting to see, it's going to change.
The quality of the game going to change too? Because
it's
a different sport, but Michael Jordan brought up the fact he was on a talk show one time talking about this. He's like, you're paying these kids and they haven't done anything yet.
That's what I was going to get to your point about A&M, Nick. You're not supposed to pay to play. And they just were like, well, we're doing that. We're like, once kids are at the school, you can give them whatever you want. However it comes about, shady, you know, traceable, whatever. Like, it's like the Wild West. No one cares. They're doing whatever. But you weren't supposed to be able to tell a high school recruit, come here and get this. And they just did. And nobody, and still nobody cared. And then they didn't.
Now, what, everyone's doing it now.
Yeah. Now everybody seems to be doing it that way. And I think, in fact, some of the laws have changed where they legally can do it that way now. Like, that's why, Quinn Ewers went to Ohio State for the year, because in Ohio, you could do it, got some money, and then left to go to Texas. Now, so all that has, to Dan's point, in 3 years, some of those things have already changed. Like, you couldn't do it right out of high school, but now you can. Now there's agents involved. Now they just passed something where the schools themselves can actually be involved with deals. Like, that wasn't a thing when it first started either. It was like, you can, you can go, negotiate your own deal. You can have a, I don't know if agents were allowed at first. I don't think they were either, but like, your parents or something could go out there and get you a deal, but the schools couldn't be involved. And now the schools can be involved and you can use their logos and you can use, it's changing so fast with no real, there's no governing body over it. It's just kind of happening however the hell it wants to happen. And Michigan is going to get left in the dust because they are not doing it. I don't know if they ever will. I really don't know if they ever will, because whether we like it or not, Nick is not wearing that t-shirt because Michigan has got high graduation rates. Okay. But that's how Michigan sees themselves. They're an academic institution first. And that's, I don't think that's ever going to go away.
I mean, currently they're going to make the argument, we just won a national championship.
Yeah. You know, so what do we need to change for? Look what we did.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That's the argument they're going to make right now. That's the argument that Ward Manuel would make right now. And that could be what gets him fired in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, if this thing just goes from here.
It should be, like you said, going the exact opposite direction. Like,
up.
Yeah. And it's not. And, you've got, like we've said, you've got a couple instances of guys who are going to start and play a lot leaving just because they want to go get some money. Like, you take, and I've said this before too, and admissions is kind of another, that's a different gray area that Michigan's had to deal with. But last year alone, the basketball team, because of the way things played out with admissions and NIL, Juwan Howard was unemployed. Like, that's a massive thing. He just got hired by the Nets, by the way. He's no longer unemployed.
Yeah, correct.
But he lost his job at Michigan because Hunter Dickinson said, screw Michigan, I'm going to Kansas to get paid. Yep. Caleb Love couldn't get into school. And Terrence Shannon the year before, same thing. Those three guys on your team last year, Michigan's one of the best teams in the Big Ten. And instead, they're playing with a roster that doesn't belong on the floor together. And now Juwan Howard's fired and Michigan has their worst season in program history. Some things got to change, man.
Fair point.
I mean, Hunter Dickinson went on public he flat out platforms. Said it. Yep. It was like, this place sucks. They're not stepping up the way that other places are.
Is Hunter Dickinson going to make the? Is he going to do anything in the NBA?
Probably not. I mean, he tested the waters.
He made the best move that he could make for himself. Yeah. He had to.
And now he's not, because he's back at Kansas again. He's Van Wilder. Like,
how many COVID years do I get?
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things too, where the NIL, because it is changing and every state and school seems to have I don't even feel like I know what's going on with it. And like, I don't focus a lot of energy and attention on NIL, but I do this for a living. And I'm just like, I don't know. How does that happen? Why does it happen there but not here? Why does Ward Manuel's name get brought up all the time as the one roadblock? Like, why the hell is he doing that? If that's indeed true, that he is one of the main reasons why NIL won't get off the ground at Michigan. Like, why? Why would he do that?
Sounds like you got some research.
Maybe I'll do my job and find that out. I'm gonna request a sit down with Ward and see. Dude, that dude is like, he hides in a hole somewhere half the time. Nobody knows where he ever is. He shows up at things here and there, and then you go to try to talk to him and he shoots you down. I'll never forget that. It was right after Michigan won. I think it was after the Ohio State game again, because we were at Michigan. And all the news reporters who have been doing it for a long time, 20, you know, like, I still feel a little like weird to go up. I'm 10 years in now, but I'm like, I can't just go up to a Ward and start asking him questions. Can I? Isn't that weird? But the old newspaper reporters who've been doing this shit for 20, 30 years, they don't care. They just run up and start asking him stuff. And he flat out was like, I'm not talking to you, and just wouldn't talk. Like, oh, all right. So that in itself, not a great sign, because he just doesn't even want to talk about some of this stuff. And he doesn't speak if he doesn't have to. So I don't know, man. NIL. I'm super excited for the college football game to come out on Xbox like in a month or two. And I don't, like, is all that stuff going to be part of it? Is it going to make that game even suck? Cause it's really damaging the regular game.
Probably.
You're going to have to have like a shell corporation.
Yeah.
And, like,
exactly.
Come up with funding.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Oh, you went over your cap, your NIL cap. Sorry.
Your star running back gets a deal with Columbia Coats and won't. I don't know, who the hell knows. I just keep thinking about all those Michigan guys who had like Wolverine boots deals and all the commercials they were doing and stuff like that. I'm like, it's cool. Like, I'm not one of the ones that say that the players shouldn't get money, but the way that it's happening is just wild.
Well, yeah. But those kind of deals were supposed to be the point.
Yes. That's correct.
That's what it was supposed to be. You know, but
you're just allowed to be famous and go make some money because of who you are. Not all this other stuff.
Like, there's no regulation at all to it. And there's every state's rules are different. Like, to your point about not really knowing what's going on, how can you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'd have to research all 50 states and all different
lawyer who's passed the bar in 50 states to understand it at all. Like, what? Yes. It's different everywhere.
We should different just start our
own. Who aren't from the states.
Get rid of the NCAA, start our own league, come up with rules that'll govern it, and it'd be more popular. Just make it an NFL light.
Yeah, that's probably where it's moving towards. Nick, you said, I don't know if we were on the air, if it was before, but like contracts are going to start being involved. Title IX is not even going to be a thing. It's going to be like football and basketball and maybe, you know, hand pick a couple athletes here and there from other sports, but that's going to be it. There's going to be no level. Yeah, man, it's a mess, dude. Like, it's so far removed from what it was even 5 years ago. It's crazy.
And you can't go back now.
You cannot. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube at this point, dude. No.
You opened up Pandora's box. It's over.
Yeah.
You know,
the TV deals, the changing conferences. It's just like that snowball rolling down the hill is so big now.
And there's so many people, like people as dumb as me knew that this is not going to be good. Like, right.
I know. I know.
Jump. It's like, you know,
as dumb as
people, as dumb as me.
That's a good line.
I mean, I'm not a great guy. I mean, I'm just a.
We're just talking.
My point being, like, they knew this was bad, and they were so greedy. Like,
you said it right there.
If you're gonna pay players, it should have came from it should just be a percentage from the NCAA. And the NCAA is like, we're not giving up any cash.
Exactly.
You start digging in old dudes' pockets. Like, they don't like that.
We'll just let it come from places that we can't even keep track of it, because we ain't giving up a nickel here. Like,
I almost said old white dudes, but that probably would have been fine too. That's what, like, that's a, I remember like Jay Billis was just so adamant about give him money. And I'm like, dude, like it's going to ruin everything. Like, like everything is going to change and not for the best.
I was not against money though, but give him a straight
That's the problem. That's the problem. It's like, how does the money get there?
Sport, because revenues are different, but within that sport, straight shot across the board, because then you don't have, you know, any of this that's going on. You don't have any of it.
Yeah. I mean,
do you have young kids out there getting in trouble because they got extra money now? You have that, but you don't have any of this that's going on.
Yeah.
Choosing schools and changing schools based on, I mean, it's just like unlimited free agency.
It's so weird. Like, I mean, I'm glad Omarion Walker is back, because he could help Michigan. That's weird. He's at Michigan, goes to Ole Miss, right back to Michigan. Like, what the hell are we doing? And he's not. There's been plenty of guys who have done that. Start at a place, go somewhere else, come back, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, you even see it. Like, I forget who the kid was. I think it might have been a kid who just got drafted. Was at four different high schools and then four different colleges. 1 year at each place, all the way for the last eight. And you're just like, dude, that's it's becoming more and more common, and it's not good. It's not good. But I don't know. Is it going to get to a point where you guys won't watch it? My dad's there with basketball already. College basketball, he's like, I don't even care. I don't know who any of the guys are.
Yeah.
They're on different teams every year.
Honestly, college basketball until the tournament, I didn't watch much of it.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
Michigan
it is.
Was bad, and I was just like, I can't. Well, that I was busy too, but I'm just like, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's definitely a different thing than it was even. Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're 90. Like this wasn't that long ago.
It does change if they all of a sudden if TV ratings start dropping and revenue starts dropping, something will change there. Because like you said,
yeah,
don't mess with my money.
Yeah, you start messing with the money, and that's when people get real upset. But I don't know. It's tough because I do think the players should get something. But the way that it's, like Dan said earlier, the way that it was designed is not how it's being used now, and it's already changed 10 times since then. And, oh, boy. NIL.
It was literally like you could see that they were like, we know this is going to be a problem, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Michigan is getting left to dust because they're not doing it. Whether you like it or not, you got to do it.
I'm sure there's other programs that are in this boat too.
Yeah,
but I can't think of anybody on the level of a Michigan.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think that's true. So there you go. Three Amigos did a show tonight. We'll see if Eric's healthy next week. My dad, we might just have lost him for a month. I don't know. He's out in the boonies somewhere in Minnesota. He said he got kicked out 5 times in 15 minutes tonight. So I just can't even imagine what that looked like. I'm sure my mom was screaming and yelling in the background. I don't know. But anyway, we'll be back again. We'll be back again next week on Wednesday. We'll see what else happens, what else we need to talk about, and then we'll go from there. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Another night of 400-plus people just sitting and listening to us dinks talk for an hour. Unbelievable. Nick, how does that make you feel? Do your kids in your classrooms listen for that long?
Do they listen to me for that long? No.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No. No, they might on here now.
They would on here. A few of them have found out I'm doing this, and they've started looking it up. So,
oh, baby. You
know, I got to watch my mouth when I'm on here.
Got to love it. All right. Thanks a lot, fellas. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll be back next week.